Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in to a Wednesday morning on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad you're with us as usual, and we appreciate the fact that you choose 97.1 FM Talk every morning. We're up on the socials here for you as well, YouTube, whether it's Facebook or X, wherever you happen to be, Rumble. Well, we're making the show available for you. Mark Cox in here alongside Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Ethan Bright's going to be here in a little while, and of course, we've got Sue Thomas keeping an eye on traffic for us this morning. Another cold morning. Let me tell you what I walked out to this morning, Kim St. Ange. I know that Easton is a long way from presenting this problem for you, but teenage children are just irresponsible. Can I just throw that out there for just a few minutes? My daughter comes home last night right before I went to bed, and usually I check, but I didn't check. And she left the garage door up all night. 4 degrees outside, and the garage door is up all night. So really, what's the purpose of getting to park your car inside if the garage door is up all night?
Anything stolen?
No.
That's even worse, Mark.
I mean, I know, but I think when it's cold like this, you're less likely to have that problem because the criminals like to operate in comfortable surroundings. I don't think they go out when it's 4 degrees looking for things to steal. I could be wrong.
Just cars.
I was just more worried about the fact that the garage door was left up in 4 degree temperatures last night.
So what's the punishment, Mark?
Will she be waking up to a strongly worded text?
Well, I will remind her, but I might as
that's,
well.
That's
I might
putting
as well,
it nicely, Mark. What
I might
really
as well talk
to
the wall. You see the wall over here behind me that I'm pointing to? I might as well address my comments to the wall. That's what it's like dealing with a teenager sometimes.
Well, you could take the car away from her, Mark, since she endangered the entire household.
That is a hammer drop, Carl. That is a hammer drop.
That seems
like a bit of a harsh punishment. I don't know that I'll go that far. However,
warning one.
She's going to get a very stern warning this afternoon.
I'll just have her sit outside for, you know, an hour in the weather.
Here's the thing. Here's what Dad did for her that she has no appreciation
Cruel
for.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
I cleared out room in the garage so she could park her car in there because my truck won't fit. And for the whole purpose of the fact that she wouldn't come out in the morning and have frost, and yet she left the garage door up.
Which sounds like the purpose. She'll have to deal with the frost this morning, then.
I put the garage door back down, so maybe not by the time she leaves for school. But
sucker.
That's my gripe for the morning. How's everybody else doing?
I park on the street, so...
you have no sympathy, no empathy for her, do you, Carl?
I used to park in the garage, and then that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
And that's one reason that I am glad I no longer live in the city, because I used to have to street park, and never do I want to do that again. Call me a spoiled brat. I like my garage. Thank you very much.
Oh, I have a garage.
I wish I had a bigger garage.
Why don't you park in it?
That's what my wife's for.
Okay, so it's a one-car garage.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So we're all airing our grievances. I thought that we were supposed to do that before Christmas sometime. Well, what happened? The airing of the grievances.
It's on the 23rd.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. All right. Lots of stuff again happening yesterday. Who's this bat crap crazy... pastor who got up and lectured the president of the United States in a church service. Why did he even go back to that church? Because the same bat crap crazy lady was there when he was in office the first time and pronounced her hate for him loudly. I don't even know why he would have gone over there. Maybe he can sign an executive order shutting down that church or something. I don't know. Or maybe redesignating it to a different cathedral for the prayer breakfast. I mean, we put every other EO out there. We might as well put that one out there as well. We'll talk about that. It looks like the police officers in the city finally getting a well-deserved raise, but at what cost? The insanity continues. The city this week committed to spend millions of dollars in Ram settlement money, and not a dime of it is going to public safety. Can I just stress that to you? They're claiming they're gonna give it out like Oprah Winfrey. They're gonna be it's gonna be raining cash in North City, and not a dime of it is going to go to public safety. If it's the biggest political payoff in maybe the history of the city of St. Louis, and people are just fiddling while Rome burns. It's the craziest thing that potentially we've seen here, and we've seen a lot of crazy things in the city. We'll get to all that and more for you coming up here. Don't forget, you can always download the podcast if you miss portions of the show. You can do that at 971talk.com or right on the Audacy app. We try to make it easy for you. That's AUDACY if you're a little slow like me.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
Unless you've heard the promos with Jimmy Fallon,
yeah,
you
I
wouldn't
know.
Get that.
Jimmy Fallon. If you've listened to the show, you've heard the promos. If you listen to the station, you've heard Jimmy Fallon say that. He's talking about Fox programming. I'm talking about our programming. You can download it all right there on the podcast. All right, Carl Middleman, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Together, these world-leading technology giants are announcing the formation of Stargate. So put that name down in your books, because I think you're going to hear a lot about it.
What was that name again? Skynet? What did he say?
No, Stargate.
Oh!
Like the movie and the TV show that no one's ever heard of.
I thought it was Skynet. I thought sure it was Skynet.
Today, roundups of criminal illegal aliens and the process of deporting them would begin. That seems to have been put on hold for a little while. When can we expect that to happen? Where will it begin?
No, it started.
Yeah, it's already started. And now the mainstream media is like, what do you mean it's already started? But we haven't had a camera there to get pictures of crying families being torn apart.
I support President Trump's commitment to bringing this war to a resolution, to stop the killing. And he campaigned on that issue, and he feels very deeply, and I support that.
Absolutely. Elise Stefanik there. She's running she's in the nomination process to be the UN ambassador. They asked her some of the craziest questions yesterday you could ever imagine.
He didn't do what they alleged.
Jeff Goldfarb says his client, Jason Wallace, learned today that prosecutors were dropping charges against him and a co-defendant, Jared Luther Owens.
Yeah, I love it. Promises made, promises kept. A bunch of the J6 hostages are being let out of jail. A lot of them are out now, and we're going to have comments for you from Jake Lang, one of them who's probably languished the longest, if you'll excuse the pun, in jail over this entire mess. And he's out yesterday praising the Lord and Donald Trump for finally getting him out of jail. I believe, and I could be wrong, that you've not heard the last of a lot of these folks who are finally now out of jail, out of harm's way, so to speak, over this J6 controversy. So they've been pardoned. They're on the streets now for the most part, I believe. And Jake Lang, I'll just take him as an example. I think will end up running for office. If you listen to the guy speak, how passionate he is, how committed he is to the Constitution and this country and freedom and against the tyranny of dragging grandmothers out of their bed and raiding their houses in the middle of the night because they showed up at a protest at Capitol Hill 4 years ago. He's angry. He has lived it. He perceives it as having paid the price, and now he wants to stand up and be the example of that. I can't wait to get him on the show. I know we've put out requests and comments to try to reach his family. We've had him booked on here before, and they threw him in solitary confinement, and he couldn't make it onto the program. This is the way our jail system in D.C. was treating these prisoners, people who were locked up, in many cases like Lang, before they were ever tried. He's been in jail 4.5 years and never went to court. This is the outrage that you don't hear from the mainstream media. well, this is awful that we've pardoned people who've committed violence at the Capitol. Give me a break. What's awful is when you pardon your extended family members for crimes they might have committed back to 2014 because you know they're guilty. This was a railroad operation by the left to make a political point in this country, period. And it's the long nightmare is finally over. And I'm going to get you the sound from Jake. I want you to hear that. We'll get to that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. And I'll let you hear from a couple of local people, at least their attorneys. They're out of jail now. Channel 4 is doing a story on it yesterday covering the fact that these folks are now free and the reactions from their attorneys. That we're going to have to effort getting some of them on the show as well once they're back home here in the greater St. Louis area. So we'll get to all that and more for you coming up. Carl, who's bringing us our national anthem this morning?
By request, Kate Smith.
If tomorrow all things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I'd have to start again with just my children and my wife.
So I wish you could picture this if you haven't seen it on social media. These are January 6th hostages who've just been released from prison. They've gathered outside with their families. And somebody started playing the Lee Greenwood song in the background, and they all started singing. And they're not all on key, but it doesn't matter, because when you watch it, it sends a chill down your spine. Wait. Yes, thank you. So that happened yesterday, and I was happy to get that sound this morning when I saw it. I'm like, yes. This is what it's all about. These people are out there. They're speaking out now about what they've suffered through, needlessly in many cases. You know, here's what you have to understand. And I saw Laura Ingraham had a great interview on this last night with a couple of these victims, where the guy is accused of pushing a gate with the police were holding in front of the Capitol that day, and they charged him with assault. And then they tried to charge him with that trumped up charge where they could put him in jail for 20 years. There's video of what he did. And you can see that it wasn't violent. He didn't touch a police officer. He didn't do any of that stuff. And the leftist criminals in the Department of Justice under Barack Obama or Joe Biden, Department of Justice, wanted to lock him up for 20 years for what he did. It was political retribution, which is what Americans need to understand about what happened to a lot of these people, a lot of them. And you're starting to hear those stories now. Listen to Jake Lang talking this morning, and you'll hear here why I believe Jake Lang will be somebody who ends up in elected office at some point. Listen.
That you had to feel and touch. American people got intimately, viscerally responsive to real modern day tyranny. This is not powdered wigs in our founding fathers in the textbook. We saw them kick down the doors of people and raid homes and drag grandmothers out into the street. It was not no longer pages of history. We knew what was at stake if we continued to allow the Democrats and this deep state regime to take over. And we mandated and pushed back at the voting booth, which we did in 2020, but it counted in 2024. And that's all that counts right now, because I'm home and I love my girl right here, my fiance, and I'm so happy to be home, and it's a blessing.
Yeah.
He does sound like a politician.
He does, doesn't
well,
he?
Well, a lot of them will likely file lawsuits because their constitutional rights were violated in the sense that they had no right to a speedy trial. The fact that many of them, if not all of them, sat in jail for 4+ years with nothing.
Well,
put in solitary confinement for what reason?
And I promise to find you this soundbite here before the morning is over. If you didn't see Ingram's show last night, but the guy said, "Listen, you know, if you've never been charged with a federal crime, here's what you need to understand." And through a personal connection, I've seen this happen. The federal prosecutor comes to you and says, "Here's what's going to happen. You're either going to pay $1 million fine and go to jail for a year, or you're going to plead guilty to a lesser." crime, and you're going to testify against this person we really want to get. That's the kind of blackmail they use in the federal system, where whether you think you're guilty or not, if you're not independently wealthy, funding the legal battle to fight something like that in a federal court would break most of us. And the people that were at January 6th that day were not the rich and powerful. They were not the ones that had unlimited resources to go to court and battle. And many of them were browbeaten by the federal government into taking guilty pleas in these cases out of fear that they might end up in jail for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, what happened here was an outrage. And I've got more sound this morning from Jake Lang, who just got out of jail. But it's powerful stuff. We're going to get to all that and more coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We got Kim on a Whim at the bottom of the hour. And we'll get you an update on the president's cabinet nominees and where all that stands in the 6 o'clock hour this morning. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Sir, the next item, as you announced in your speech, is a requirement that federal workers return to full-time in-person work immediately.
It was one of the very first things Donald Trump did after being sworn in. He was there at Capital One Arena. You can hear the crowd screaming. It's Trump signed that executive order requiring most federal employees to return to work in person full time. This is going to be interesting. The question I think a lot of people would naturally ask is, does he have the power to do that? Well, the answer is yes, absolutely he does. Where he's going to face a challenge is that about 26% or so of these employees are unionized. And a lot of these unions years ago, they negotiated where a certain percentage of their staff is able to work either fully remote or have a hybrid schedule.
With the
Biden
administration.
Yes, where they're able to work maybe 2 days from home. So if you have it in an agreement with a union, again, that's about 26% of federal employees who fall under that category. He would either have to renegotiate with them or wait for that current contract to expire and then try to figure out what's next. There are certain employees who would need to have, you know, special, you know, criteria for working in person, like say if they're handicapped or whatever the case may be. This is going to be interesting, and I kind of have mixed feelings about this because I know people who work for the federal government, and the people I know work mostly in person, full time in the office. But I know they're one of a few people out of the hundreds of people in their department that actually go in person. You know, a lot of them
are
working a couple days at home at least or fully remote. It's hard because during COVID, a number of these departments, not just the federal government, but we're obviously talking about that right now, but a number of them, you know, we were forced to work at home because of COVID. And so they didn't even need their buildings anymore. So I would imagine many of these buildings just sat vacant for years and
still are,
or some were maybe sold off or rented out to somebody else. And it's going to be interesting to see how they structure this, because Trump is expecting people who were not unionized and who have the ability to do so to be in the office. I feel for people who agreed to a job with the understanding that, you know, hey, I really like this. It's a good fit for me and my family because of the flexibility. I've been open about this. You know, our bosses have been fantastic, knowing that my number one priority is to be a mom first. You know, my job comes second. I love this job, but I really wanted a job that was going to be flexible. And I love this job in and of itself, but I also really appreciate that it's flexible. And there are going to be quite a few people who are these federal employees who really need that flexible schedule and are going to say, if you're going to force me to work in person, I can't. And I think you're going to see a lot of resignations. In fact, I know some people with the person I mentioned, I know who works for the federal government, because this was just kind of a thing during the COVID era, these departments started hiring people from across the country. So you have staff members who are working, I mean, in all kinds of different states. So you would have to force them to not only come into the office, but force them to relocate, to move their entire family. So I support the whole in office thing. Like, I get why he wants to do this. I actually am in favor of that. But I empathize with these employees whose lives are about to be very flipped upside down in some cases, who have enjoyed this flexibility, and now they're being told, hey, you have to come back to work.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, great Odin's Raven.
You have a job, and I think you need to be there for your job. Now, I empathize with people who go out and search for a job that has flexibility. If you know that when you took the job, I have some empathy for you on that. And maybe that's the kind of job you need to have. But we let people go home during a pandemic, and the federal government bureaucrats saw an opportunity and seized on it and continued to let people work from home. I refuse to believe they are as efficient at home as they are when they're at work, when they're in the workplace. I'm not talking about people that can do radio from home if need be. I'm talking about people that have a sales job or a production job or whatever else it is. I think they're more efficient if they're in the workplace, where if the boss needs to talk to him, he doesn't have to schedule a Zoom call with them. He can go down and knock on their door and deal with them. I think this was a failed experiment and people got spoiled by it, and now Donald Trump is correcting that course. It's not a private business. It's the federal government. If you want to work for the people, I think he's got the right to set those parameters and say, I'm sorry if you came in the middle of this and you think you can live on the beach and do this remotely. We're going to require you to come back into the office. I'm glad to see it, because what it's going to allow, I believe, Kim, is them to decide who is a crucial employee and who's not, who is a critical employee to this operation and who's here because their uncle used to work here, right, and they got the job and they're not very good at what they do. We need more of those workers, mm-hmm, who are there getting the job done. I'm sorry, I'm old school on this. I think you should be in the office.
No, I do think you're more efficient when you're in the office. And, there's this whole mindset, and it's not entirely wrong, out of sight, out of mind, that if you're at home and your boss doesn't see you, it's easy to kind of, yes, forget about you and not want to say, hey, could you actually do this for me too? It has to be so annoying for bosses when they need something that they have to try to get a hold of a person on the phone. Let's be real. If you're home, you could easily just ignore that call and say, oh, I'm sorry, I was tied up in another phone call or another meeting and I've got to get back to you. Versus if they knock on your door and you're sitting in your office, it's really hard to say, hey, I'm busy, I can't talk right now.
Right.
So there is something to be said for efficiency when it comes to being in the office. I think this is a necessary step. It's just going to be interesting how this whole thing plays out. I think there's a lot of jobs that can be cut, and I think this is going to reveal that. I think DOGE is going to come in and say, this is wasted spending. We don't need 15 employees doing the work of two staffers. And so I think you're going to trim the fat, if you will. The question is, how many people are currently working from home? Because the White House initially came out, remember that report that came out and said, only 6% of federal employees work in person. And there was some pushback on that. And they were saying, no, that's not it. There's a lot more people who are working in person. This one article, and I've read other ones too, talks about how 46% of federal workers, or 1.1 million people, are eligible for remote work. And about 228,000 of them are fully remote. They don't talk about hybrid. And I think that's probably more popular than people working fully remote. But I agree. People have had this mindset who could work in the office and now just think, well, I'm just going to go on vacation for 2 weeks to the beach and I'm going to do my work there. And let's be real, I just don't think you're as efficient, generally speaking. I think people have a lot of opinions about this. I was forced to work from home, and I know you were too for a little bit, but I was forced to work from home for, about a year and a half at KMOV. And obviously I got my work done. I was on the news at 10 o'clock and made slot, as we call it. But it's very hard to concentrate, and it was easy to put things off and kind of, if I'm like, well, I'd really like to load the dishes and start dinner, I'm going to push, right, this interview back a little bit. Like, yeah, I got the job done, but could I have been probably more efficient? Yes.
Maybe I'm old school. Maybe I'm jealous. Maybe that's it, because I have been in two professions now where that would not have been possible, right? In television news, you generally speaking can't work from home, right? During COVID, Because honestly, when I was working in TV news, Kim, and you've got me by a couple of years there, right? The technology was not at the point where you could have gone home and edited your story. You had to physically be at the building to get all that stuff done. And maybe the with technology, people can argue that we can do this now. I believe, and will continue to believe, that if I'm a boss, I need to be able to see if my employees out there working, as opposed to guessing based on their workflow, mm-hmm. whether they're getting the stuff done or not.
Well, a lot of people use extra pressure. People use Teams and things like that, and they can see if someone's logged online. But there are so many ways people
can fake it.
Yes. Where you're faking your mouse moving and you're faking clicks on your keyboard. I don't know how to do any of that stuff because I'm not techie, but I know it's out there.
Well, you're not
so
a cheater.
So I don't have sympathy for people who were told, who once worked in the office and they were hired to be in the office full time. They were working from home during COVID and now they're being told to come back and they're whining about it. Get over it. Go back to the office. I do have more empathy for people who were hired under the premise that, hey, this is going to be really flexible. You don't even have to be living in this particular city where we're based out of.
Yeah.
Those are the people who are really about to have to make a very tough decision. Either they're fired if they refuse to come in, and Trump has the authority to do that, or they have to resign. Or move their family.
Maybe I'm just jealous. I heard of a friend, he's now retired, so I can tell this story, who bragged to me one day at our neighborhood pool when I lived in my old neighborhood that he loved working remotely because the other day, he tells me, this would have been in the summer. He said, during turkey season, which would have been the previous fall, I would put an earbud in and listen to the Zoom call I was supposed to be on while I was in my stand turkey hunting, while I was sitting on the ground waiting for a turkey to come by.
Exhibit
I'm like,
A.
Thank you. With the phone muted,
yep.
So that if he had to fire his shotgun, they wouldn't hear what was going on in the background.
Gosh.
So I know that's an egregious example of it, and maybe that's why I'm jealous. But I just don't think it lends itself to efficiency, because he might have been sort of listening to what was going on the Zoom call, mm-hmm. but there's no way he was totally committed to that. To that call.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
He was doing something else.
Let's be real. People did that stuff all the time. Maybe not to the extent of turkey hunting, but they did other stuff where they were not paying attention. These federal employees, they have to be given written notice they're being fired at least 30 days in advance with an explanation of the reason for their termination and an opportunity to respond. So
yeah.
These federal workers, I'm guessing your departments are about to send you a notice saying, hey, you need to start coming into the office, or you might be receiving one of these notices
Trump, you finished, you're through. Donald Trump has done amazing things in the last 24 hours. I'm going to hit a few of those for you when we come back here in just a minute. And I want you to hear that soundbite I was talking about. I found it from the Laura Ingraham show last night with Brandon Straka talking about what he went through when they raided his house. We'll be back in just a minute. Glad you're back with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark, by the way, in case you're wondering. Here, listen, I listened to Laura Ingraham last night. You hear these stories of people and how they were mistreated surrounding January 6th. Brandon Straka, who is a pretty well-known and outspoken journalist in a lot of this, and has been for years, was one of the ones there that day. And he was recording near the outside of the Capitol when he got caught on video doing that, and he was prosecuted for it. Listen to him tell his story last night to Laura Ingraham. This runs about a minute and a half. Listen to this.
Do you believe that you, and I know the answer to this, but I don't think our viewers do, that when this went down, and remind us of what you were charged with, that you were given a fair trial?
No, my case was a lie from the very beginning. I stood outside of the east side of the Capitol for 8 minutes shooting a video. When I arrived, there were no police officers on the east side of the building. Nobody was rioting. Nobody was committing violence or destroying windows or fighting with anyone. And the doors of the Capitol were open. I stood outside of the building for 8 minutes shooting a video. I never entered the Capitol, never engaged in any violence, vandalism, theft, or destruction. But because of who I am and the success of my organization, the Walkaway Movement, they decided to come at me and come at me hard. And 2.5 weeks after I posted that video, the FBI raided my home at dawn, got me out of bed, put me in handcuffs, began stripping my apartment of computers, iPads, hard drives, thumb drives, camera equipment, put me in handcuffs and took me to jail. When I got out of jail, I learned that they were charging me with 2 felonies and a misdemeanor and threatening to add the now infamous 1512 obstruction of an official proceeding felony. So I was potentially facing 30 to 35 years in prison for the 8 minutes that I stood nonviolently outside of the Capitol. But to make this entire thing stick, they created this story that I stood outside of the Capitol shouting, go, 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 to encourage people to enter the building and take it, to encourage people to take a shield from an officer. I did no such thing. It never happened. Nonetheless, I took a misdemeanor plea deal rather than choosing to go to trial. And part of my misdemeanor plea deal was signing their statement of offense saying that I did those things when I did not do those things.
Just, it's another example of what I explained a minute ago. If the federal government comes after you for some reason and the scales of justice are not even, this is what happens. And this is why Donald Trump went in and pardoned the people that were involved that day, because justice was mishandled in this case. And I think Strake is a perfect example of it. He had no choice other than face 30 years in prison potentially for that little incident he described there, or take a plea deal claiming he was guilty of something. That's what they do to you. And that's why people are celebrating and singing outside of jails this morning. Good for him. And good for the people that got their pardon, for sure. And Carl and I confirmed just a moment ago that people who are pardoned of a felony conviction do get the ability to go back and vote.
They get to vote.
Buy guns if they want
to. Well, they're no longer a felon if they've been pardoned.
Well, they've been forgiven. They are still technically guilty of what they were charged, but they have been forgiven for their crime.
Regardless, I'm happy for them. Let's put it that way. Speaking, Cam, earlier of the workplace rules, Donald Trump has been so busy. He did that, first of all, right? He went out and he got the work. He mandated people return in person. He also should have done this yesterday for 2A Tuesday. If you go to the Gun Violence Prevention Office website, it now says not available. he has deleted the Gun Violence Prevention Office, as if violence is caused only by guns. So, I mean, the whole premise of the office was some biased, Newtown related gun anti-gun group that went out and pushed for him to do this crap.
Well, the guns
this is
shoot
the kind
themselves,
of stuff he's getting
Mark.
Rid of. Apparently.
They also got rid of, it was like reproductiverights.gov, and it was basically this pro-abortion garbage, and that was taken down within hours of him being sworn in.
And the border app. Border app,
CBP.
Went, same thing,
yep.
Not available, which we had people crying about. And now, as soon as Rubio got sworn in, he issued an order, a reapproval process for all scheduled State Department official travel. If it's not important to the United States, we're not spending the money to send you overseas to some conference, you know, on reproductive rights for Africa. We're not doing that crap anymore. We're back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.